Thank you for turning with me there. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read verse number 30 and we'll commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 30 says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the examples of faith in the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for those who have gone before us, those who trusted in your Word, those who trusted in your mercy and grace to help in a time of need. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we as your people today can trust in the same grace and mercy. We can trust in the same precious promises of your Word if we would simply look to you by faith and live by faith. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. Help us this morning as we learn from Joshua and the nation of Israel's example. Lord, help us to understand and to see, Lord, that we must make decisions the same way, Lord, that they experience victory in their lives. Lord, we ask that you would help us once again. Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit. And may the Spirit of God lead us into truth this morning that would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30, we continue on in this wonderful chapter of faith, and now we come to the nation of Israel once again. Last week we saw how they passed through the Red Sea by faith. And though they were in a situation of great fear and great peril with the Egyptian army in pursuit, the Bible tells us that they gained a wonderful victory at the Red Sea as they passed through by faith. And this morning we come to verse number 30 and we see the nation of Israel once again. But I dare say that between verses 29 and verse 30, much has happened in the life of the nation. In fact, 40 years have passed between, at least 40 years, between the two accounts, more than 40 years, by which God did a work of faith in the hearts of his people. And as we come to verse number 30, that describes the conquering of Jericho in the land of Canaan, I'm mindful that this act of faith was not the first act of faith for the nation when it came to conquering the land. In fact, the Bible tells us that as the nation of Israel approached the land of Canaan, there was a test of faith that God had for them. A test to see whether they would trust in him or not. A test to see whether they would obey the word of God. A test to see whether they would follow Joshua and whether Joshua would live by faith. In fact, the entire book of Joshua is all about the victory we experience when we choose to live by faith and the glory that God receives as we step out by faith and trust him. And as we've heard this year, the Bible tells us that the Christian life is a life of faith. It is a life living according to the faith of the Son of God. You know, many times we trust Jesus Christ as Savior and we are saved and we glory the Lord in our salvation and we think that's all there is. But then the Bible tells us just the same way you were saved, you are now to live by faith. You are to believe the Lord in everything else he says in the Word of God. You are to trust him the same way you trusted him for your salvation. Because the Bible tells us not only are we given the promise of salvation, but we are also given exceeding great and precious promises that God expects us to claim in the Word of God. Friends, God has promises for you in the Christian life. God has promises for me in the Christian life that are claimed by faith. As we think about the nation of Israel in verse number 30, I think about the fact that 40 years before this event, Joshua and Caleb were men of faith. And they proved their faith when they went with the spies and they spied out the promised land. You remember when the nation of Israel were moving, through the wilderness, and they came to the promised land. They sent in spies over the border, if you will, to spy out the land of Canaan. Now, as they went in, Joshua and Caleb went with them with a bunch of other men, and Joshua and Caleb, who are men of faith, came back with a good report. They said that this is a land flowing with milk and honey. This is the wonderful land that God has prepared for us. And Joshua and Caleb said by faith that we are well able to overcome the giants in the land, the other nations in the land, the trials and the difficulties ahead. We are well able to overcome it, because if God be for us, who can be against us? But there was a problem. The rest of those men who went with them were not men of faith. No, they were men of fear. They feared what would happen if they went in. They feared that they would lose their wives and their children. They feared that they would be defeated by these giants that they saw in the land. And they said to Moses and cried out to him in unbelief, "We are not able." And that decision cost them dearly. The Bible says that as a result of the murmuring and the unbelief of the people, that they could not enter in. And it took 40 years for God to change His people. It took 40 years to remove that generation of unbelievers and replace them with a new generation of those who would believe in God. You see, unbelief costs us dearly in the Christian life also. When you and I are not prepared to believe God, we need to be prepared to be set back in the Christian life. We need to be prepared to miss out on God's best for our Christian life. You see, unbelief has great consequences in the Christian life. That's why God is serious about His people living by faith. All of us this morning have much land to be possessed, amen? There is much land in our lives to be possessed, in our family lives, in our work lives, in our witness, in our service for the Lord. There is much land to be possessed, if you will. But what we need is faith. What we need is faith. Now, before we examine the conquering of Jericho in verse number 30, I'd like to go back in the Scriptures and have a look at the test of faith that God placed in front of the nation of Israel 40 years later. 40 years later, God was going to prove His people whether they would trust in Him or not. And believe it or not, the first victory in the land was not the conquering of Jericho, but it was the passing through of the River Jordan. It was the conquering of faith that took place at the Jordan River, as the nation of Israel lined up and as they stood there wondering how they were going to enter the land. This morning's message is entitled Stepping Out by Faith. What lessons can we learn as God tested His people and prepared them to conquer Jericho at the River Jordan? Well, turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter number 3. And we'll be there this morning, so you can keep a bookmark there in Joshua chapter number 3. And this morning we're going to learn some lessons about stepping out by faith. God gives us some wonderful lessons. If you're taking notes this morning, and by the way, there are sermon note pages available on the table, blanks that you can write on. If you're taking notes this morning, there are 6 lessons for us to learn from the book of Joshua when it comes to stepping out by faith. Now, the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 3 that the nation of Israel had now reached the promised land once again. Can you imagine, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, God said, "Now it's time for you to trust me again. Let's see what you will do." And God brought them to the River Jordan, and He was preparing them to enter in. There the nation of Israel camped by the River Jordan. There they were waiting to see what God's commands were. Perhaps some of them were wondering, How are we going to cross the Jordan River? Perhaps some of them were doubting what would happen because it was impossible to cross. Verse number 15 tells us at this time of the year that the River Jordan was at the stage that we would call a flooded stage. The River Jordan was flooding. Its banks were bursting with water. And they obviously realized that, hey, this wasn't a river that we could swim across. This would be impossible to cross. Now, you might ask this morning, well, they could have built some rafts or they could have built some boats. But the Bible tells us by now they had over 1 million people in the nation of Israel. 1 million people had to somehow cross this river, and God had set an obstacle before them that they would have to trust in Him by faith to overcome. And that miracle that would take place, that God desired to do, would be a warning to the nations that were watching on the other side of the river of what God will do to defeat them. You see, God was going to do the miraculous. But first, He wanted His people to do what? To step out by faith. Now, Joshua wasn't wondering what he should do. Now, if you think of what you might have done in Joshua's place, can you imagine the pressure that would have been on you and I when people, 1 million people, were looking around thinking, Joshua, now what are we going to do? We finally reached the promised land, but what are we going to do now? Now we're stuck. Can you imagine everyone's attention focused on you? Friend, what would you have done? Maybe you and I would have tried to come up with some harebrained idea. Some idea that maybe we would have tried to build rafts, or maybe we would have tried to do what we thought was best. But the Bible tells us that's not what faith is. Friend, that is you and I living by feelings, and Joshua was certainly not living by his feelings. How did Joshua know what God wanted them to do? Well, notice with me in verses 7 and 8 of Joshua chapter 3. Let's pick up with Joshua chapter 3 and verse 7. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Verse 8. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. You see, as they came to a test of faith, God had a plan and a will for how they were to overcome this trial. Would you agree? Joshua didn't just come up with a harebrained idea of how they should cross the river. Well, what's the first lesson we learn? We learn that faith is stepping out at God's word. And this is a reoccurring truth that we've seen throughout this year. Faith is stepping out at God's word. Faith is not you and I doing what we feel is best or what we think is best and giving it a go. Friend, that is not faith. Faith is stepping out at the Word of God. And we need to allow that truth to solidify and become a truth that we live by in the Christian life. That faith is not a blind leap in the dark. And in fact, many times Christianity is criticized by the world because when they look on, they see Christians blindly leaping in the dark and claiming that they're living by faith. No, faith is living by the Word of God. When you and I have a decision to make, we need to be very careful, whether it's big or small, that we base our decision not on our feelings, or not on our past family heritage, or not on our culture, but by the Word of God. You see, faith is stepping out at God's Word. It's a very simple truth, but a truth that we often miss. You see, God spoke to Joshua, and would you agree, God told Joshua what to do? Would you agree with that this morning? You can say amen. God told Joshua what to do. He didn't make it up. He didn't say, okay, this is what we're going to do. Let's get the priest to carry the ark into the water and let's just see what happens. No, God spoke to Joshua and Joshua said, yes, yes, Lord. That's what we are going to do as we face this trial of faith. Friend, what test of faith are you facing right now? What decisions do you need to make in different areas of life? I dare say this lesson can be applied to all of our lives, that faith is stepping out at the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 11 verse tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. What do we put our hope in? Do we put our hope in ourselves? Do we put our hope in our feelings or desires or our dreams and aspirations, young people? Is that what you're putting your hope in for the future? I hope you're not. Because your dreams will let you down. Your desires will let you down. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, the Bible says, but danger alert, the Bible also says, the way thereof is the way of death. You can be so absolutely certain in your heart about something and not even realize you are completely wrong. And I speak by experience. I speak by when times I've looked back and I've realized, hey, I made that decision because it felt right. Not because God had told me in His Word that's what He wants me to do. How do we know what to do during any decision of faith? How do we know? By the Word of God. Look with me in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. This is one of my favorite verses, and some of you would know that by now. When it comes to determining the will of God in any situation, how can we be sure we are living by faith and not by feelings? Psalm 119, verse 105. Notice what the Bible tells us. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thank you for turning with me there. Let's read this verse aloud together on two. One, two. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Okay, so here you are. You're at the River Jordan. You don't know what to do. There is a decision to make, parents. There is a decision to make, young people. I don't know what to do. I'm stuck. There is an obstacle. I need to make my mind up, and I'm in darkness right now. What do I do? Well, the Bible tells us, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. For many decisions we need to make in the Christian life, God has already given His answer to that question. What kind of life we should live? What kind of truths or standards we should live by? Where we should go? What we should look at? Much of that is already declared in the Word of God. But there are some decisions you and I need to make that do not have a black and white answer in the Word of God. That, for example, should I choose this job or that job? You won't find the word Bunnings in the Bible. So if God has an opportunity for you to work at Bunnings, you're not going to find the word Bunnings to give you an answer. What do you do? What do you do? Well, friend, God's word is alive. It is living. God's word is the living word of God. And as you spend time in the word of God and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? God will speak to you out of His living word. How do we know? Because His word is a lamp unto our feet. His word is a light unto our path. And friend, God will light the path one step at a time. But how does He speak to us? He speaks to us in His word. You might say, Pastor, that is so obvious. Yes, but we so often miss the obvious, don't we? As soon as there comes an obstacle in your life and mine, what do? The Bible's on the shelf and we're sitting down like this at home. Now, what will work best for me? What will work out best for my family? What will work best for my future? And all along, we have never asked God, Lord, what would you have me to do? And then simply walk with God each day and expect Him to tell us in the Word of God. Expect Him to give us the answer. You know, when I was praying about whether the Lord wanted me to go into the full-time ministry, I really wanted to go. In fact, if I had my way, my pastor didn't say yes, but if I had my way, I would have enrolled the next year. I wanted to leave work and I wanted to go to Bible college. I wanted to be whatever the Lord wanted me to be. And my pastor wisely said this. He said, well, you know, it's not God's will for everyone to go to Bible college. It's not God's will for everyone to go into the ministry. You need to know what God's will for your life is. I said, well, how do I do that? He said, well, the Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Keep walking with God. Keep asking the Lord what he would have you to do, and then he'll show you. So I waited, and I got frustrated, and I waited, and I got frustrated, and I waited, and I got so frustrated, I finally said to the Lord, all right, Lord, I'm happy to stay where I am and do what I've been doing, working and witnessing and staying in the place where you've put me. And Lord, I'll just trust in you to show me in your timing what the future lays ahead. And not long after that, the Lord showed me in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 17, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And God used a verse I had read a few times before. That's an exaggeration. The Lord used a verse I had read a number of times before that was meaningless to God's calling upon my life until that moment when he spoke to me supernaturally, miraculously through the Word of God. That is how God speaks. He uses even a verse out of context that he spoke to the disciples about and said, I'm going to use this verse, Mark 1:17, to call you into the ministry. And then I said to the Lord, Lord, but do you really want me to enroll next year? So now my feelings were starting to come up. I wanted to enroll next year, but I said to the Lord, Lord, maybe I could enroll halfway through and save up a bit more money. Because what am I going to do for money? Now that you've called me to go, what am I going to do for money? I could do with a bit more money. So maybe I could enroll that in the year after. And I was saying to the Lord, well, Lord, I guess you've answered my prayer already. Then you'll answer this question as well as far as the timing. When is that, Lord? When do you want me to go to Bible college? And you know the very next verse, Mark chapter 1, verse 18. What does the Bible say? And straight away, they forsook their nets and followed him. So there was the answer to that question. Now that's just an example from my life. And I trust that you have examples from your life where God has spoken to you directly and specifically when it came to decisions you needed to make. If you are not living a life of faith, let me encourage you, this is God's plan for our lives. We are not to live by feelings. If we are living by feelings, the tragedy is you and I are living in unbelief. We are trusting our own selves. We are in danger of leaning unto our own understanding. What a catastrophe that is in the Christian life. And friends, the world does not need to see a Christian living by feelings, falling over and stumbling and walking in the darkness when God has given us the light of his word to guide our path. Amen. Amen? The light of the word of God. What an amazing truth. That he will guide us through his word. Faith is stepping out at the word of God. And friends, God is serious. I often ask the question when people ask me, well, should I do this or should I make this decision? How do you know that God wants you to do that? Where is the book, chapter, and verse in the Bible that God specifically showed you that's what he wants me to do? Amen? Now, I probably won't tell you that if you don't ask. Most Christians make up their mind before they tell the pastor, and they're basically just making an announcement. They're not asking for pastor's help or wisdom or prayer. They're basically making an announcement. Now, that's just for free. That's not in my message. That's just for free. If you want wisdom or help, let me challenge you. Where has God told you to do that? Young people, what are you basing your future on? Just an opportunity? Friend, even the devil can open doors, is that right? He can open plenty of doors. He can open doors of temptation. He can open doors to sin. He can open doors into the world. And the average Christian never asks God. I remember one young lady we were sitting with back in Sydney. She said to us, how did you know that you were meant to marry one another? We just gotten married. And she said, how did you know? And we said to her, well, we asked God. We were both praying and said, Lord, is this your will for our lives? And And God spoke to me in His Word and gave me a number of verses specifically. And my wife the same. And so we both smiled after we were married and said to her that we know, without a doubt, that our marriage is God's will. And she said, do you really think that God speaks through His Word like that? I didn't even know He does. And both of us looked at each other and we said, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. Someone who calls himself a Christian doesn't understand the basics of the Christian life. That we live our lives by faith. And it doesn't mean you and I doing what feels good. It means asking God and saying, Lord, yes, no, or wait. Faith is stepping out at the Word of God. Faith is stepping out at the Word of God. When Joshua came to this place of testing for the nation of Israel, he didn't gamble their future on his feelings. And parents, we need to be very careful that as we lead in the home, we don't throw our family's future to the wind by doing what feels best. Amen. We ask God. We have a responsibility as parents. We ask God and we don't step out until He says yes. Amen? We don't do a thing. We wait on the Lord. If He wants us to wait, there we stay. But we're in obedience to the Word of God. We're living by faith as we wait on God. Faith is stepping out of the Word of God. Can't stress that any further. The reason why the nation had victory during this test is that they waited to see what God would tell them to do. Amen? They waited. Notice secondly, as we continue on. Now don't be worried, we won't cover all six of these truths this morning. Secondly, faith steps out despite what we see. Faith is stepping out at God's word. Secondly, faith steps out despite what we see. Notice verse number 15. We'll go a little bit further down in chapter 3, Joshua chapter 3, verse 15. And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. Notice what's in brackets there in your Bibles. For Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. So notice the Bible tells us that at this time of year, the Jordan River was not a narrow passage of river that you could just cross through by walking through. No, it was a raging torrent of river. The snow was melting from the mountains of Lebanon and the surrounding hills, and the water was flowing into the River Jordan. The river, in fact, during this time of harvest, was said to double its size, and it was so fast moving, no one would even dare attempt to cross. One commentary said that during the spring season, the Jordan River, which would normally be around 50 meters in width, would become at least 100 meters wide. Friends, that is a long distance to cross in a river that is deep, in a river that is bursting its banks. Can you imagine what the people were thinking as they camped at the river? Well, I'm glad we can see the promised land, but how on earth are we going to get over this river? And there's Joshua in a position where often you and I are thinking, what are we going to do? Parents, what are we going to do in this decision? What are we going to do, young people, with our future? There's the obstacle. There's the test of faith. Well, faith is stepping out at God's word. And then when God tells us what He wants us to do, be very careful to notice that faith is stepping out despite what we see. Despite what we see. Now, who would agree this morning that if any time of the year that God wanted them to cross the river, this was definitely the one time of the year that it was the wrong time to cross? Would you agree? Harvest time. The river was full. Why would God bring them to the river at this time of year? You couldn't cross. And this time of year was the worst time to cross. But you see, for the nation of Israel, in order for them to live by faith, God put them in a place of testing, to test their faith, to cause them to live by faith despite what they could see. You see, living by faith is not living by feelings. It's by the Word of God. Living by faith is not living by sight. It's by living by the Word of God, not by sight. Not by sight. How would you and I have felt at the Jordan River? You know, they had to step out despite what they could see. And you may come to a point in your life where you ask the Lord and you say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And He shows you what to do, and to you it doesn't make sense. Or perhaps you're praying about a relationship or a certain decision, and you, as you're reading your Bible, you see what God says about the matter, because He's already declared in His Word what kind of relationships we would have as a Christian. And you might say, well, God wants me to separate from that person. And they even call themselves a Christian, but because they are living in wicked sin, God says separate from them. But that doesn't make sense to me. If I do that, they may not talk to me again. And so it may not make sense, you see, what God tells us to do. When God said to the nation of Israel, I want you to walk into the Jordan River, get the priest to pick up the ark and walk into the river to put their feet in the river, that didn't make sense. Why? Because the river was a raging torrent. But that was what God's will was for them. And many times God's will for you and I will not make sense. You and I will not be able to make sense of it. You and I will not be able to comprehend how this will work, this decision will work in this situation. Have you ever faced moments like that in your Christian life? Where you know what God wants you to do, but you can't see how it will work out. Notice Isaiah chapter 55. If you'll turn with me there for a moment. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. The book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. Notice what the Bible says. Let's read verse 8 aloud together, shall we? On to. Isaiah 55 verse 8. 1, 2. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Friends, God is not like you. God is not like me. He is the infinite creator of the universe. Therefore, we must understand that His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. The Bible tells us in verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And therein, my friends, is the life of faith. When God wants us to do something, but we don't understand how that will work out, we simply need to say like Joshua of old, yes, Lord, and do it. That's what faith is. Faith is not living by sight. Faith is not working it out before we obey. No, faith is you and I trusting that the Lord is right, that His ways are much better and greater and more truthful and realistic than our thoughts. And we say, yes, God. We say yes. And we step out by faith, not based on what we see, but despite what we see. Friends, God knows everything. The Bible says that the main characteristic of God that He was impressing upon His people at Mount Sinai, the nation of Israel, was the character of His holiness. The word holy means to be morally flawless, to be pure, to be perfect. That means God can do no wrong. So that means if God says something in His Word and He means it, then it is right to do and it will be good for you 100% of the time. But it's our sinful flesh that tells us, I know what God wants me to do, but To be honest, I can't see how that will work out in this situation. I'm worried. To be honest, today it's not going to work today. The Bible was written a long time ago. That's what many foolish people say. Well, the Bible was written a long time ago. It's not for today. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible says to young people, in order to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, let every wife have her own husband. But what do young people think today? Well, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. How can I marry someone if I haven't known them physically? And what is that? That's unbelief. That's not trusting God by faith that He can speak through His Word and bring someone into my life. wonderfully and miraculously and confirm in His Word and build our relationship so that when we get married, we can enjoy what God has for us in our marriage. No, the world says, no, you're going to make a huge mistake. You need to try before you buy, young people. That's what the world says. That's what your feelings say. That's absolutely true. Most young people would not dare trust God for their future husband and wife because they're not living by faith. They're living by fear. It may not work out, so I need to try before I buy. But God says faith is stepping out by my word. And not everything that makes sense. Guess what? That future wife or husband, young people, is not perfect. They will have flaws. If you are looking for the perfect person, you better look in the mirror. Because it's not there either. Amen? That husband or wife, you better get used to it now, will not be perfect. And if you have the try before you buy mentality, then the first little inconvenience will throw you off. And you'll say, well, that's not the one. See, by faith. By faith. What does God say in His Word? What is faith? What does it mean to step out by faith? It means stepping out at God's Word and stepping out despite what we see. Friend, when God tells us what He wants us to do, all we need to say is, yes, Lord, and take that step, and then we will find ourselves walking on miracle ground. Amen? We will find ourselves experiencing the miracles of God. Perhaps there's a decision that God wants you to make, and you're afraid. You're afraid because of what your feelings are telling you. And you know what God wants you to do, but you can't see how it will work out. Friend, let me encourage you to say yes to God by faith. Let me encourage you to trust Him. That's what it means to live by faith. Now, lastly this morning, the third point that we'll be able to look at this morning, faith means, thirdly, stepping out first. Now, this is an important truth to grasp as the nation of Israel come to a decision point in their life. Faith not only means stepping out at God's word, faith not only is revealed when we step out despite what we see, but faith means you and I stepping out first. Notice what Joshua chapter 3 says in verse 15. We've read verse 15 already. We've read how the priests were carrying the ark and they dipped their feet in the brim of the water, and the water was overflowing. It didn't make sense, but they obeyed the God. It did not make sense, but they obeyed the Lord. Notice verse 16, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off against the people. And the people passed over right against Jericho. So picture it with me in your mind. The priests stepped into the river. It was a raging torrent. It did not make sense, but they knew what God wanted them to do. As they stepped into the river, suddenly the flowing of the river ceased. Sometimes we picture in our minds that the river divided. That's not what happened. God stopped the river upstream from flowing anymore. There was a wall of water upstream, and He cut the river's source and stopped it from flowing. And therefore, the ground in front of them suddenly became open. The way was open unto them. The river had stopped. But what did they have to do first before God did the miraculous? God told them what to do. Before He did the miraculous, they had to step out. Exactly. They had to step out by faith. Look, God was not going to do the miraculous until they did. Yes, He was going to do the impossible. Yes, He was going to open the way. Yes, He was going to show Himself strong, but He would not do what the people of Israel had to do first. Amen. He would not force them to step into the Jordan River, and their feet so far in the river that they could have been swept away down to the brim of their garments. And the Bible shows us a wonderful truth regarding what is true faith. Faith means you and I stepping out first. You see, in the Christian life, God will show us how He wants us to live. God will show us decisions He wants us to make. But before you and I can experience the working of God and the miracles of God, He expects us to step out. He expects us to obey Him. And just like Peter of old, when the Lord was in the boat with him and he'd been fishing all night and caught nothing, and then the Lord turns to Peter and he said, "Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." That did not make sense. That was crazy. Because you don't go fishing in the daytime on the Sea of Galilee, you go fishing in the nighttime. And they had been fishing all night, they had caught nothing. The area was empty of fish according to the master fisherman, Peter. But the Lord said, "Launch out into the deep." And Peter said, "Yes, Lord." They launched out into the deep. They let down the net. And what happened? The Lord broke the net with the fish, almost broke the net. The fish was breaking. I mean, the net was breaking with fish. That's how full it was. It was exploding. You see, until Peter launched out by faith, according to the Word of God, despite what he could see, he did not experience the miracle of God. See, many of us this morning may be stuck on the banks of the Jordan River. We see the impossible before us. We're not asking the Lord what to do. We are consumed with what we can see, and therefore we are stuck in the mud, and we are not going anywhere. See, the only way to live has been told to us in the Word of God. Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. That's the only way to live. There is no other way you and I can live the Christian life except by what is true biblical faith. Faith means you and I stepping out first. Friend, what is it that God wants you to do? You know, I think about our calling to be witnesses. Friend, it's not easy to be a witness. I don't always feel like sharing the gospel. Can I be honest with you? I don't always feel like doing it. Sometimes I'm afraid at what people will say and do when I look at them and how they look, how their behavior is. You know, we have fears, don't we? And we hesitate. But what does God say? "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, but ye shall receive power. Ye are my ambassadors." You are ambassadors for Christ. That means that's who we are. So as we obey the Word of God and we give that person a tract, and we give someone an invitation, we start to tell them about Jesus Christ, we ought not to expect the miracles to unfold before us. We ought not to expect to see God working in someone's heart and an opportunity to witness, dare I say, to lead them to Jesus Christ until we're willing to go to that person, until we're willing to speak. Amen. Does that make sense? Some of you would agree because you understand that's true. God so often surprises us when we obey His words and He opens the river before us, and suddenly we're talking to someone about the Lord who we never thought would listen to a word. But you see, unless you and I step out first, we're going to be stuck on the wrong side of the river. We won't experience the victories in the Christian life. Friend, are you stuck in your witness this morning? Can I encourage you, ladies, if you want to go door knocking, come and see me and then turn up on a Wednesday. You might be afraid. You might not know what to say. Someone will go with you. But the key to living by faith as a witness is you stepping out first. Men, if you come door knocking on Saturday, come and see me first. But don't live by fear. Don't stay stuck on the wrong side of the river. God will do the miraculous. And you'll enjoy being a witness, but you need to step out first. You need to obey the Lord, or else you and I will not enjoy the true victories in the Christian life. Now, does that make sense this morning? See, so often we misunderstand what it means to live by faith. Faith is stepping out at the Word of God. Amen? Faith is stepping out despite what we see and according to what God says. Faith is stepping out first. And as the priests took that first step into the open water of the Jordan River, suddenly and supernaturally and instantly, dare I say, they were standing on dry ground and the way was open before them and they could see the miracles of God. Friend, when was the last time you stepped out by faith and witnessed the miracles of God? We need to trust Him first. Now, there are three more lessons to go, but you're going to have to come back tonight to find out these last three lessons from the trial of faith of crossing the Jordan River here in Joshua chapter 3. Let me encourage you to come back tonight. But let's bring our hearts before the Lord this morning and say to the Lord, Lord, help me to live by faith.